Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua chapter 24. Let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 391.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in Joshua 24, but first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Joshua 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan, and came in unto Jericho, And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgazites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them, of the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore hear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you, after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family. Also, Mrs. Harry DePuter, who is in the Lethbridge Hospital after surgery in this past week. Also, Mary Lynn Janssen, the daughter of Martin and Marion Janssen, who is in the Calgary Children's Hospital after she was struck by a vehicle in this past week. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, we are spared. We are given to see the light of a new day. And thou knowest that others are taken away, even as it has been experienced in the midst of us. In these weeks that have gone by, a family who has stood at an open grave, and then it can be when we have to miss those whom we love, that we cannot understand how that life goes on again. That the sun ariseth still and goeth down unto his place, and that men continue upon their journey. Wilt thou remember those that mourn, and wilt thou give a supply from above in the days of sorrow, and wilt thou give instruction also unto each one of them and us together. But then it could be or could have been that we had been preparing for another funeral. For thou knowest how close that a little child in our midst has come. The great danger that she was in. O Lord, that thou may look upon her in the place where she is. And wilt thou grant unto her healing for her body. And thou knowest all the needs. But thou knowest also what it is for her mind. And for her mother, her father, her sisters. Lord, thou knowest all that lives within their hearts. Oh, that thou may give unto them what is necessary from above. But wilt thou also teach us and our children the seriousness of our life. For then we know and see continually that the old must die, but also that the young can die, and there are none too young. Then there are none too young also to be converted unto thee. Oh, that thou may look upon our children, even in this day. Then we often think upon those that are older, but they need also in the days of their youth to be converted unto thee. For we know not our life. Oh, that thou may work with thy spirit with great might and with great power to come in the midst of our many youth and our many children, and to work that most powerful and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit. Remember also the older mother and wife that lies in the hospital after surgery. Thou knowest also her condition, for body and for a soul, that thou may visit her from above, that thou may instruct her, that thou may heal her, that thou may be with her also in the future, for we know not what is still must come. But wilt thou thyself supply from above? Lord, wilt thou teach us all? For we are so careless. We are so godless. And then we go over this world without a concern. And so many callings that are coming to young and to old together. But they strike not our hearts. Oh, they enter not into our soul, except that thou would speak, and except that thou would stop us and say unto us, thus far and no further. Oh, that thou may look upon us then in this thy holy day, and do so in thy mercy, and then also before us have come young people, that I wish to make confession of faith in this morning hour. Lord, thou knowest all the season that has gone by, what has gone before this. And thou hast made it well to this moment. But now the hour has come, wherein they are standing before thee and before us as a congregation. And then they will be asked to give their answer to those most solemn questions. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that in this hour there may be living in their hearts a cry to thee, the Most High God, that they may say, oh, Lord, how can I do it? And yet with a desire in their heart that they may do it. Oh, give thou also from above what is necessary in this hour, not only, but also into the future. And may thou build up thy church among us, that there may be an increase in our number. But could it please thee in a special way, to grant an increase in thy church among us, in that 144,000, that complete number that shall be brought in. Oh, when they are brought from the east and from the west, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, that we and our children would not be thrust out in that day, having known the way and had no desire to walk therein. Oh, who can give it unto themselves? Lord, that is thy work. And to whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And thou alone hast the power of thy Holy Spirit to give unto us life from the dead, and that hunger and that thirst and that new affection, that drawing of our heart unto thee, the Most High God. Oh, take reasons then out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, and to take away all of our many sins, and to take us by heart and by hand, that we may forsake the world and every former friend, and that our heart may yearn, may pant, may hunger and thirst for thee, as the heart panted for the water brooks. Oh, that we would not be left in, over to the hardness and the sinfulness of our hearts, to work out our own destruction, and on that last day to be sent away from thee, though that we have come and gone from the place of the holy all our life long. Oh, Lord, how great shall that judgment be, And how righteous shalt thou be to cast us away from thee? And when we have said unto thee time and time again, I have no desire for thee, or the knowledge of thy ways. O come thou, thou most high, thou most majestic, O thou most sovereign, thou most powerful, thou most merciful and gracious God. O look upon us and upon our dear children. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants, instruct us out of thy truth, grant us the ability, the strength to go forward in thy work, increase the number of thy servants here below, that thy word may go forth to Jew and to Gentile. May thou look upon us in this hour, help us to bring thy word. Strengthen us in the body. O give that burning of the heart that is necessary to bring thy word in uprightness and in truth. And wilt thou grant that there may be a place in the midst of us to receive it in this hour. Be with all that listen by church telephone. Be with all those that are in need in this world. Those that are handicapped. Those that suffer from serious diseases, those that mourn, those that have lost their loved ones, those that are widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that have needs of the mind, wilt thou supply amidst all the consequences of our sin, and wilt thou cause us to know what the cause is, that we may turn again unto thee, the true and the living God. Look upon us then in this hour. O be in our midst feelingly and believingly. O that we may be able to say from the bottom of our hearts, it was good to be here. For the Lord was in our midst. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 121, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, we have heard, and our fathers have told, what wonders thou didst in the great days of old. The nations were crushed and expelled by thy hand, cast out, that thy people might dwell in their land. We announced the consistory. There will be no consistory meeting this week, as was announced. The next consistory meeting is scheduled for May the 22nd. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 121, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. Congregation, there are those of you who have stood at the deathbed of those whom you loved. That was the experience also of a family in our midst in these weeks that have gone by. Then we may see them gathered together, and they are standing round about. What a difficult thing when there is love and when there will be a separation. But that is reality. Then there comes a time that you and I will have to give our final farewell to those whom we love. Our wife, our husband, our parents, maybe even our children. That is the reality because of sin. What an impression that man has then when he is standing there around a deathbed. And then we see our life in a different light. And then we see our life in the light of reality, what it is. And that our life is actually so short, and that soon we have to leave it and depart out of this life. Sometimes, if the Lord may give such a bed, then we are hearing the last words that our loved ones will speak to us. They are precious words. And then those family members, they are not soon forgetting what has been spoken on the day of death. That comes also for God's servants, because there are not only farewells from our loved ones, but there are also farewells from God's servants. That there has to come not only last words in this life, but then there will also come a last sermon. And then we can imagine that if a minister may realize and a congregation may realize that a minister is now speaking unto them for the last time, then that is a very solemn occasion. And then those words of that minister, they are not going to be easily forgotten. And that is now what we may read in that chapter, which is for our consideration for this morning hour. And that is Joshua's last exhortation to the children of Israel, which we find in Joshua 24. Joshua 24, the 22nd verse. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. So far the words of our text. The choice of Israel at the renewal of the covenant. First, the obligation to this choice. Second, the impossibility in this choice. And third, the witnesses of this choice, the choice of Israel at the renewal of the covenant. First, the obligation to this choice. Second, the impossibility in this choice. And third, the witnesses of this choice. Joshua was, congregation, a servant of the Lord. He has come out of the land of Egypt with Moses. And Joshua was a man that feared the Lord very greatly. And then he also was set to a position of a general. He was given a charge by Moses. When the Amalekites had to be fought against. And we know that he also was one of those that must spy out the land of Canaan eventually. And who has come back with that good message, not that there were no enemies, but that he has come back with a message which he has spoken out of the love of his heart and out of true faith. Giants, yes. Enemies, yes. But they are not too great for us. Why? Because the Lord is on our side. Thus, he may believe that the Lord would give unto them the land. And we know that for this reason, he also was spared with Caleb. And the others, they are taken away. Joshua, after the death of Moses, was made by the Lord into the new leader to go forward before the children of Israel and to bring them into the land of Canaan. But now there also comes an end to the service of this God's servant, because we read that he has become very old. He was 110 years old. And then he feels that there is now an end coming to this service. But we read that he wishes one more time to speak unto the children of Israel. And he gathers them together unto Shechem, the heads of the tribes and the elders of the land. That is a very solemn gathering. The people feel this. Because Joshua, he is saying unto them, I am old. I am stricken in age. And so, boys and girls, you can understand that everyone was very, very quiet. And everyone was listening what Joshua now would have to say. And what does Joshua want to say to them? Well, Joshua is thinking about the future. Oh, then he is thinking about the future of this people. Because the Lord has laid the welfare of this people upon the heart of his servant. And that is not only in a special way the natural, but the spiritual welfare of this people. Because Joshua has grace in his heart. And when we have grace in our heart, and then it is not in the first place that which is outward, but that which is spiritual. Is there also such a concern living in our hearts for the future? Joshua thinks, how will it go now? When I am gone, when I have passed away, how will it go in the life of this people? Will they continue to serve the Lord? And will they continue to fear the Lord? Will they walk in his ways? Or will they now depart from the ways of the Lord? Young people, then you can imagine, and that is also by times living in the heart of your father and your mother, that they think to themselves, how will it be with my son? How will it be with my daughter? And when I am not here anymore, will they then continue to walk in that way that we have tried to show unto them in their life? Joshua was a witness. Because he has come with the children of Israel out of the land of Canaan, and then they have stood there at Sinai. And what happened at Sinai? Well, there the Lord, he has made that people as a nation into his own people. He says, you are my people and I am your God. Thus the Lord, he is establishing with the children of Israel there at Sinai his own covenant. And then there was a response. And then we hear there is something that is living in the heart of his fathers. And when they have also spoken, and they have said all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Oh, that must also have been such a gladness in the heart of that God-fearing Joshua. But how much sadness that he had to endure, because he has also seen how it went. And they have been brought by Moses into that wilderness. And there, time and again, they have proved themselves to be a stiff-necked people. Oh, time and again, they have murmured against the Lord and against the way of the Lord that he has led them through that wilderness. No, then it was not so that all that the Lord had spoken, they have done. But over again, they have rebelled against the Lord and rebelled against his ways. And we can read that Joshua, after that he has given the leadership over this people, and that he has brought them into that land of Canaan. And then we can read how he has brought them to stand on those mountains, on Mount Gerizim and Ebal. And there they have stood one over against each other. And there Joshua has renewed that covenant of the Lord with those people. Congregation, how is it in the life of a man? Do you know something of what that means? For a man to desire, to long, to be in the service of the Lord. Because, boys and girls, if the Lord will convert us, and you ask for that, don't you? You ask for that every day, I hope, that the Lord will give to you a new heart. And now what will happen if the Lord will give to you a new heart? What will you feel in your heart? Well, then you will feel an affection. Now you will feel a love for the Lord. And in your heart, then you will say with that people, all that the Lord has spoken, I will do. And then you want to walk in his ways. We read of Ruth that she says, thy people, my people. And thy God, my God, that what was living within her heart. That is not only once, but the Lord has to give it also by renewal in the life of his children. Sometimes that may be when the Lord is gathering his people around his own table. and when they may experience something of the goodness of the Lord, then there they may, as it were, sign up again. Then they may be ashamed of their life. But when they may see something of the goodness of the Lord, then that desire that is going out once again unto the Lord, and that their whole life may be conformed to His will, to His way, to His image. Thus here Joshua, he is gathering that people for the last time together before he dies. And he desires that Israel would once again renew that obligation from their own side. Can Joshua give that to them? No. Can it come from him? No. He says that has to come from you. But he will do something as a means. And what does he do? Well, he begins to speak to that people. He begins to bring them back, as it were. He leads them that they may look back in their life, that they may see all that the Lord has done in their life and in the life of their fathers. Do you do that too sometimes? Or to meditate on what the Lord has done in your life? To meditate on what the Lord has done in the life of our fathers? What does Joshua do? He reminds the people. He speaks to them about the patriarchs, about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how that the Lord has led them. And then he speaks to them about Egypt and how they were in bondage, how they had no power from their own side, how distraught that they were, and how that their cry that has come up before the Lord, how that the Lord, he has brought the plagues upon Pharaoh, and when there was no power from their own side, oh, how that the might and the power of the Lord was felt in their life. Oh, how the Lord has taken away and destroyed all their enemies. How distraught that they were before that sea. And how that the Lord has led them through and delivered them out of the hand of all of their enemies. Oh, then he reminded them. He says, do you remember now how that we have gone through that wilderness? And that was a dry land, that was a thirsty land. But there the Lord has fed you with manna from above. There the Lord has provided you with every good thing. There the Lord has given you water to follow you out of that rock. Thus Joshua is reminding that people of the goodness of the Lord. And why, oh Joshua, do you know what he would like to do? He would like to break their hearts. Oh, he would like to give them a broken and a contrite spirit. And then what does he say? He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thus Joshua, he urges them. He urges them to make a choice. We can read Elijah has done the same thing. He says, why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. And if Baal, then serve him. And then Joshua, he may set himself as an example before this people. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, what is our example? Parents, consistory. Oh, may we set also ourselves as an example, as this godly man may do before all of Israel, to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can that be seen in our life? Can that be seen in our walk? Young people, we have this morning confession of faith. But we want to stop here a moment and speak to you, because there are more of you. Confession of faith. Or we ask you, do you never now have a desire that you also may serve the Lord? That is our solemn obligation, not ours only, no, but actually every man upon the face of this world, all created by the Lord, and there is only one God, and there is only one truth. Maybe you say, well, I abstain, then I just stay neutral. No, then we are not neutral. There is no neutrality. Because when we do not join ourselves unto that truth, then actually we separate ourselves from that truth. Oh, do you ever think of what the Lord has done in the life of our fathers? Do you ever think of how that the Lord has given unto them the fear of the Lord? Or may you ever hear something of that tender fear and of that life that the Lord has given unto them in closeness unto Himself? Then you are brought under the truth. That is, in the goodness of the Lord. Do you ever see it that way? Or is it always a burden? Oh, think once what it is to have been born and to have been brought up in a home just next to yours, maybe, and where that word of God that is never read, and where that word of God that is never taught, and that man, he is remaining ignorant. What does Joshua say? He says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Is that enough to join the church? No. And yet it is such a great blessing. What do we say with it? Do you know what we say with it when it is right? When we are joining ourselves to the assembly of the Lord, when it is right in our heart. Oh, then there is a cry. And then we are saying in that confession, oh, Lord, remember me. Remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thine inheritance. Oh, the Lord give you such a desire in your heart, even as it was in the heart of this people. We read it, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. What is now the answer of Joshua? That is our second thought, the impossibility in this choice. And what do we read? And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. What is that? Ye cannot serve the Lord. What does God's servant do now? Does he now want them to make that choice? Would he have them now to make a different choice? You say, what a discouraging answer. Why does he say that? What does he mean by that? You cannot serve the Lord. Does he need to say that now? That is just in that moment he is going to send that people away? No. He has no desire to discourage that people. But do you know what he has a desire to do? He has a desire to be honest. He has a desire to be honest with that people. Are we honest with one another? There is, congregation, a way that it ought to be. And then there is a way that it is. They are not necessarily the same. Oh, he desires that that people may make that good choice. But he does not want them to make a hasty choice. He does not want them to make a superficial choice. No, he wants them to make a true choice. He wants them to have considered the consequences of making that choice. What did Naomi say to her daughters-in-law? When they are following her out of Moab, she said, go back. Go back now. Go back to your people. And go back unto your gods. Did she want them to go back? Oh, no. Not at all. But she realized something. It is not all gold that glitters. And Joshua realizes the same thing. And he does not want them to make a mere outward choice. He does not want them to make a hypocritical choice. Man can perform that. He can join himself to God's children. He can speak like God's children. He can put the name of the Lord Jesus on his lips. And how many there are that are urging persons, multitudes, to serve the Lord in that way. A congregation that does not agree with the desire of Joshua when he tells them, ye cannot serve the Lord. No, Joshua, he urges them to a very different kind of service. That is, that service that God has created them for. That is that service that the Lord has created us in his image to do. That is that service that the Lord has given us to do in paradise. That is no longer by nature our choice. But it was Joshua's choice by grace. And he desires that that people, they are making now that same choice. Joshua is honest with them. Ye cannot serve the Lord. And he gives them the reason. Ye cannot serve the Lord. For he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He is a holy God. He is a God that maintains his righteousness. He is a God that maintains his holiness. He is a God that will by no means clear the guilty. Ye cannot serve the Lord. Why not? Because you are conceived and you are born in sin. what is necessary to serve the Lord, that is grace. And then your sins need to be forgiven. And then there needs to be planted a new desire that you may walk in the ways of the Lord. For He is a holy God. And not only is He a holy God, but Joshua says He is, the Lord is a jealous God. What is that jealousy? Well, if husbands, then you think that your wife, then she looks for another man, then there is jealousy. That is what jealousy is. And thus, when Joshua, he says, the Lord is a jealous God, then the Lord, He is a God that cannot be served along with other gods. Because He is jealous. Therefore, he says a choice is necessary. That it is either the one or the other. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. It is one thing, congregation, for the world to serve the idols, young people, and another thing, to serve the idols when we are a member of the church. That is also when we are a baptized member, children, when we have the name of God on our forehead. Then you are different from all the other children, not in your heart, no. But you are separated. And that is now why sometimes your mother and your father, they have to say, no, child, no. We cannot do that. We cannot go there. We cannot wear that. No. Why? You cannot be like those children because you have the name of God on your forehead. And the Lord, He is jealous of that name. And the Lord, He will visit the transgressions of His people. And He will allow the world to go on to their destruction in their sin. But His people He is going to chastise. Therefore, it is a serious matter to be baptized. And it is a serious matter when we are making confession of faith within the church. Ye cannot serve the Lord. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Oh, how do you think that was for Joshua in that moment? Oh, you can be sure that that heart of Joshua that has leapt for joy, that answer of that people, that was like music in his ears. He is so glad. And he knows they cannot do it. And yet, he desires this confession. He desires to hear this intention from this people. And now he desires also that they are going to hold to this. That they will not depart from this. But we are going to sing first. Psalter 25, 1, 2, and 3. Lord, who shall come to Thee and stand before Thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within Thy holy place? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 25. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. What is that? A witness. A witness is someone who has seen. A witness is someone who has heard. A witness is someone who is able to testify because he was there. He knows the truth. Sometimes we bring a witness for the purpose of a second person knowing and being able to testify of the truth of something. That is always a very solemn occasion. We do not always bring a witness, but we bring a witness on an occasion which is very, very important, which is very, very solemn. And when we get married, then we always have witnesses. And that is for a purpose, to witness those marriage vows. And now here, Joshua speaks about witnesses. Ye are witnesses. Thus, Joshua is expressing the significance of this occasion, the importance of this occasion, when he is bringing forth the word witnesses and the fact of witnesses. Now, who is a witness? Joshua says, Ye are witnesses against yourselves. What you have said. And there are, congregation, three things that are contained in this. In the first place, Joshua says, You are now witnesses against one another. Because you have spoken it together. And you have all heard it. That you have all said it. Thus, the Apostle Paul, he says, look not every man on his own things, but look every man also on the things of others. And that the people, they are set as witnesses one over against the other, that they may watch over each other. And so Joshua says it here. You are witnesses. And now you have to testify against one another. You must warn one another. When I am gone, he says, then you must warn one another because you have heard that promise of each other. There is a second thing that he says, ye are witnesses against yourselves. Then he speaks about their own personal consciences because they know themselves what they have spoken in that moment and that will never go away. And that conscience may now speak when that people are departing away from that which they have promised. And then that conscience is going to speak. And then he says, that conscience that is a witness against you, and you can step on it, and you can make it quiet if you step on it enough, but it is one day again going to be opened. That the Lord is going to open that conscience in the last day, the day of judgment. And then that conscience is going to witness against you. And in the last place, and most importantly, that conscience that is before the Lord. And that the Lord, he knows everything. that he knows the inmost secrets of your heart. He knows your motives. He knows why you are saying what you are saying. You are witnesses against yourselves. And now what did that people say? They say, they answer upon Joshua, and they say, we are witnesses. That is, congregation, a very solemn thing. Why? Because it has taken now the form of the oath. Of the oath. They say, yes, Joshua, we are witnesses. God is witness what we promise in this hour. And our conscience is witness what we are saying. And we are witnesses over against one another to watch over each other. We are witnesses. A very solemn moment. And not only because it is the form of the oath, but because it is so impossible for them. They have just heard it from Joshua. Ye cannot serve the Lord. So what they were promising, they were not able to perform. O congregation, is there not a people that may understand something of this? Of the love, of the desire, and that may live in their hearts by moments in this world? When? Oh, when that faith may be brought into exercise, and especially when they may receive and experience something of the deliverance of the Lord. David, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee. When did he say it? He said it in that day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Oh, Lord, I will love thee. Oh, how often do we read it? I will dwell within the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I will praise thee. I will bless the Lord. But congregation, now, for the practice, because that may be said in that moment of faith, that the people, they may say, we will serve the Lord out of great love. But now that self-knowledge and the experience of the practice that can make that people sometimes so to tremble, even with the desire, because our heart cleaves to the world. The Lord Jesus spoke to Peter. Peter had said something in his life. He had said to the Lord Jesus, though all men should be offended in thee, yet will not I. There came a day that the Lord brought him back to what he had said. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Oh, that is what Peter had thought. That is what Peter had testified. But when the Lord Jesus asked him this, he did not dare to say this anymore. Why not? Because of his sin. Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. Oh, there is a witness in our heart, yes or no. Is there a witness congregation in your heart? That is not our choice by nature. We can do it outwardly, and we ought to do it. But we need that choice by grace. And what is now the fruit of that choice? What does Joshua say? He says to that people, if now this is truly your choice, if you really mean this, now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. You cannot serve two masters. You can only serve God or you serve mammon. There is a people that need blood for it. There is a people with all their desire that need congregation to be cleansed because they cannot fulfill it. Then their whole life that needs to be washed. Oh, the Lord, He will make that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of greater and greater value. We hope you may experience that, young people. He will make that blood of the Lord Jesus of greater and greater value in their life. More necessary. More precious. The longer that they live. Maybe you say, really, was it ever true? Oh, Peter's life testified against him. We can understand where he would say, was it ever true? And he did not dare to say, I love thee more than these. He did not even dare to say it with that word that the Lord Jesus used for love, because the Lord Jesus spoke about a great love. Do you love me, Peter, with a very, very great love? And do you know what Peter answered him? He could not come up so high. He used the word for an affection. Oh, there is something, he said, Lord, and that he may appeal to the omniscience of the Lord. That is a people. They may be glad that the Lord is witness. Because their whole life can seem so wrong. But that the Lord knows what is living deep in their heart. And Peter, he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that there is deep in my heart something. If it does not show right in my life, that I must confess. But deep in my heart, there is an affection. Deep in my heart, there is a love. For thee, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Amen. We will now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the Holy Scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourselves conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Last, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? And what is your answer, Justin John Braun, Amber Lynn Kraft, Amber Lynn Braun, Andrew Justin Less, Alana Nicole Outsorn? Friends, Joshua, he may say it, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And that is now what you may do in an outward way, in a public way, in the midst of your families, in the midst of your congregation. And that is in accordance with the holy word of God as we have studied together and as we can read in Article 28 of our Confession of Faith. However, Joshua also said, ye cannot serve the Lord. And we have spoken of this also. We have spoken about those questions. We have gone over those questions together. And then we have asked, is it now really possible to make confession of faith without true conversion? And then we have said, actually, it is not. How is it now possible that we make such a promise without the grace of God? Because we cannot fulfill it. And yet, you are here today. And yet you have come still to give your promise, still to stand before the congregation and before the Lord. And thus in this, then you have said in this morning, nay, but we will serve the Lord. That is to the gladness of our heart. And that is to the gladness of the heart of your parents and of your grandparents and all those who love you. But now there are also witnesses. God is witness. The congregation is witness. And you are witness. And therefore we would say, receive the admonitions of the fellow members when they will come and they will say thus and thus. Do not become angry. No, then we have to watch over one another. Oh, listen to your conscience. You say, can our conscience err? It is possible, but our conscience is less liable to error than the reasonings of our mind, because our understanding that is darkened. Remember that it is all before the Lord. How will your life be? How will your life be in the midst of the congregation after you have made confession? How will your life be in the midst of all this world when you have taken that oath upon yourselves? We have read together that book of Reverend Hoagland, and we would say, please take it in hand and read it over again. But now Joshua, he does something more. And we would like to ask you a question, a moment a little personal. If the creation could speak, what would it now say about your life? Listen to what Joshua does. He sets up a stone, and he says, that stone is a witness. He says, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. That stone cannot hear, of course. But Joshua sets up that stone, and he says, now, that stone remains. And that stone has heard everything. How is that now in your life? If the walls of your house could speak, what would they have to say about your life? If your car could speak, what would it have to say about this young man, about this young woman? Or would it be able to tell us a story? Would that be the story of sin? Would it also be the story of repentance? Or would it be able to speak and to say, I have seen it. I have seen the tears coming down the cheeks of that young man, of that young woman. And I am witness to the grief in secret places that is going on in their heart. Or that stone that was set up, young people, as a witness. The Lord remember you. And the Lord give to you what is necessary for the fulfillment of that promise by grace. And may he make you to be a blessing among us. And that you also may receive a blessing here among us. Congregation, receive these young people as members of the congregation, as full members, that we may be honest with one another, that we may keep one another because we travel to eternity. But now Joshua, he also does something else with this people. Or he would have them to renew it, to renew it. And there are many of you who have also stood here. Maybe many years ago. How is it now? Or does that same desire live in your heart? And what do you have to say now about it after so many years? When you have been a member of the church, is there now a grief that it is not the way that it ought to be? But is there now also a people who with tears that must and may say, nay, but we will serve the Lord? We ask you to arise and sing. Psalter 227, on behalf of these young people. 227, the third stanza. Blessed they who dwell in Zion, whose joy and strength thou art. Forever they will praise thee, thy ways are in their heart. The third stanza of 227. Afterwards, you may be seated. Blessed they who dwell in Zion.
shall fill the springs of peace.
Let us now close with prayer. Almighty God, of the heavens and of the earth, wilt thou remember these young people who have brought their yes and before thy countenance, and also in the midst of this our congregation, oh, that they may prove to be a blessing, and that they also may receive a blessing, and that it may be after, when thou wilt spare them through many years, that it may be also proved to be thy seed, whom thou wilt instruct from above, and whom thou wilt give that grace that will bring to the need of thee and thy dear son. Wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Give thy word a place in our hearts, the need and the desire, also that we may be forgiven all our many sins and shortcomings, and that we may cleave unto thee with a true faith. Look upon us in thy mercy, forgiving all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 385. All stanzas. Deliver me from evil. Preserve me, Lord, from wrong. Against the foes that gather, be thou my helper strong. And all that follows in 385. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.